Coming up this week, we'll find out about the Audio Content Fund from its managing director, Sam Bailey. James Cridland reflects on his trip to Vegas for the NAB show. And we've got more delightful radio moments from David Lloyd.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
But first, Radio Today's Roy Martin is here, as always. Easter week, are you excited for the chocolate, Mr. Roy?
It's bank holiday. I can't do chocolate because of, problems. But I have found an egg that I can eat, so I shall be I'll be doing that.
Excellent. So it's been a busy week of radio news. Yes, get those out of the way. Let's get on with the news. Yeah. It's been a fairly busy week in radio. Not as busy as some weeks have been this year so far, but everybody's winding down for their Easter break. But news from the CMA, they've cleared it off the desk before Easter. This is not the Bauer purchases, though. This is all about Global's purchase of Outdoor Media companies. And it's all right. They're allowed to do it.
It's all right. There's a song there. The Competition and Markets Authority have approved the acquisition of Exterion Media by Global, which means, along with their other purchases, which were PrimeSight and Outdoor Plus at the back end of last year, Global is one pretty big company now, isn't it? They've got literally hundreds of thousands of outdoor advertising points across the UK to advertise its radio stations if it if it so desires for free, which is a great move. Global Outdoor can now fully integrate into Global, which it will do over the next few months. I wonder if they'll lose the names, so if they'll take away all the the PrimeSight and Outdoor Plus and just have the Global G logo everywhere. Yeah, maybe that's what they're spending the next few months doing. So good luck to Stephen and Ashley and the team there for integrating all the staff into, not literally physically into Leicester Square, but into the Global family.
From Global's billboards. I guess now the CMA might have a bit more time to look at the Bauer purchases, because there's three decisions we're waiting on there for their purchase of UKRD and Wireless and Lynx FM Group. So now the Global stuff's off the desk. You never know, they might get around to the Bauer stuff. We'll see.
I'm sure they've got millions of other things going on apart from radio. But yeah, let's hope they'll turn their attention to Bauer. Actually, let's hope they don't turn their attention, because the people involved there, they're going to be in for a bit of a shock from what we've heard if they do literally turn their 100 new radio stations into relays. So for the sake of the staff, let's hope this carries on forever and ever.
It's a split, isn't it, between hold separate going on for a long time and things kind of staying as is versus the insecurity hanging over, not knowing what might happen. So there's a balance to achieve there, I guess.
And there are rumours this week. Not that we do rumours, of course.
No, we don't
gossip,
comment on rumours.
We don't. Speculation, we don't do that. But there is another rumour going around, apparently, that an announcement is imminent. Even maybe by the time you hear this, there's something going on. So, keep an eye on the website for more details.
And that'd be with Bauer's existing stations, I guess, rather than the ones they've bought, because they can't do anything with those yet.
Yes, I expect we're awaiting news on how the old Bauer City One stations will probably become the hits. Not that the information was leaked on a design agency website recently or anything like that. So we'll see what happens.
Talking of which, Greg Burns popped up on there on Sunday night taking over the throwback show on Sunday night. And I think he was doing that from Australia, because obviously he left UK radio about 3 or 4 years ago to go to Melbourne. I think he might be in Sydney now. So possibly him coming back is a way into Hits Radio for him.
Yeah, rumours that he's going to be taking a daytime show on Hits Radio when it goes networked across the Bauer City One stations. So, yeah, they haven't just employed him for a weekly show, because he's actually moving back to the UK in a few weeks. So that might give us some indication of timescale. You never know.
Okay, right, let's talk about a station in Wales, Radio Ceredigion. And they've had a bit of a weird history over the last year or so, because they reapplied for their licence, put in a different format so they didn't have to do as much local and Welsh content as previously. And now they've changed their mind and said they want to actually do some more local content than their new licence requires them to do when it starts later this year.
Yeah, this was a bit of a head-scratching moment when it appeared in the inbox. So Ceredigion will be continuing. Maybe they've had a change of strategy for Nation Radio, or maybe it's just easier for them to continue with the split links and the split ads on Radio Ceredigion as it is. Who knows? We should drop them an email and find out exactly what they're playing at.
Yeah, and at the other end of the country, Durham FM and Alpha are coming back. So what was Durham and Alpha and became Star under UKID and then changed to Rather Good, and I think it's been Vintage Music Radio the last few months. It's been handed over to a different group to run it, and they're going to bring back the Durham and Alpha names. So local radio returns, possibly.
Yes, we shall reserve comment on this until we see what the guys at Like Radio are doing. They own or part own Imagine FM in Stockport. So they've got a couple of digital stations in the Midlands, I think, and now this one in Greater Manchester, and now the ones in the Northeast. So again, a strategic plan. They've got a couple of little stations dotted around the country. Good luck to them, and let's see what happens.
And since we recorded last week as well, there was this report came out from a group calling themselves the Local Radio Group, and they're basically pulling together some evidence and some research that they've done from an online survey and lobbying for the reversal of some of the deregulation. Is that going to happen?
No, and it's great that they're spending time on this. They're obviously very passionate, but it isn't going to happen, is it? Anything they do, or he does, I don't know how many people are exactly involved in this. I'm very sceptical, and so are many other people in the radio industry. So I just feel like saying stop wasting your time and let it happen.
And I'm not entirely sure what they want to happen. As you say, it's going to be near on impossible that the changes Ofcom have brought in are going to be reversed. If anything, when DCMS and when the government finally get around to some legislation, once we got Brexit out of the way, I think the deregulation will go further rather than rolling back on it.
And I'm not quite sure what it is they're exactly... Are they trying to bring back the good old days of 24/7 local radio? I mean, who's the guy behind this? He's on a breakfast show himself, isn't he?
Yeah, and I did have a listen to his breakfast show, and there wasn't a lot of local content in the links. There was local news and local travel news, weather reports, that kind of stuff. But in terms of the chat with the presenters, it was all stuff that was national, that could have been done from anywhere, talking about surveys and talking about things in the paper and talking about, you know, Britain's favourite takeaway and all those kind of things. So I'm not really sure.
This is the problem with local radio. It's you tune in, you can listen for an hour and hear nothing local. The fact that it's a guy or a girl sat in a local studio looking out the window talking about local weather, is that something really worth saving, or can that be done centrally, bigger and better?
Yeah, that's, and I think what we will see with the global stuff and with Bauer, perhaps when it happens, is that focus on local news content and actually saying we're going to deliver specific news for each license area rather than the bigger kind of merged regional stations. And we had a bit of a listen. It was last week, wasn't it, that Capital launched its national breakfast show. I tuned around some of the breakfast shows and listened to some of the news content. And on the whole, each area was doing kind of its quota of local news in those 8 a.m. news bulletins that I listened to. One or two were kind of, you know, perhaps bending the rules a little bit on what they're supposed to do in terms of fully formed local stories for each patch. But we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, and we'll kind of go back to it in a few months and see how they're getting on. It'd be interesting, actually, in a few weeks, we're going to be talking to John Goodell from the BJTC, who are training the next generation of journalists, and of course former commercial radio news editor and IRN editor. So it'll be interesting to get his views in a couple of weeks' time on this podcast on local content in national shows and the Ofcom's requirements.
And looking at the feedback from radio stations, Twitter and Facebook, where stations have had their breakfast show replaced, the majority of them are just, they're missing their affection with whoever was on the radio before, and they don't like this new guy. But chances are, if Roman Kemp was the local guy before and then somebody else came along, they'd be missing Roman. So yep, it's just that association with the people they know rather than the fact that it's not from the region, isn't it? It's just they don't like changing their favourite radio presenter. But, you know, over time, Roman will become their favourite radio presenter, probably. You know, that always happens when the new guy takes over.
Yeah. Capital presenter from Manchester has jumped ship. I guess he's staying in the same building, though, isn't he, for his new show? Because he's gone to Communicorp. This is Adam Brown, who was doing a Drive on Capital in Manchester. He's taking over from Steve, Berry and Sophie on XS Manchester Breakfast from next week.
Yeah, he's literally next door. Hopefully he'll be able to keep his car parking space in the same building. in spinning fields in Manchester, but they are separate. Remember, hold separate, and the state companies must be different. There are different front doors on the same floor for Global and Communicore in Manchester, which is a bit different to some buildings. I think you went to Wales, didn't you? And they're all in the same room.
The programming team, the studio, certainly it's all the same way in, and the same desks that they are kind of sat next to each other on. The studios are accessible by both. But I think it's more the sales operation where they're supposed to compete. And I think they're on different floors, or certainly separated in most of the regions as they're supposed to be.
Yes.
So it's the Student Radio Conference going on this week, and the lineup for that looks really, really good.
It looks excellent. It puts some other radio industry events to shame, to be honest with you. It's got such a big rota of radio professionals taking part. The opening was by Stephanie Hurst. They've got loads of people from Global, loads of people from the BBC, from Bauer, from Communicore, and some freelance producers. All sharing knowledge and encouraging students to get into radio and to do good things in radio, which is quite ironic considering there's not going to be many jobs left at the end of the year. But it's all good for the students. I wish I was at the event, because we used to go, didn't we, back in the day? And
yeah, went to a couple.
And cover it. And it was always a good crack. So maybe next year, maybe get your passport back, Stuart, and we can go to the next one.
You don't need a passport to go to Swansea.
Depends where it is next year.
True, very true. Very true. Well, Lancaster's Bailrig FM, which I think I went to once on the Lancaster campus. I think I went to look at a mixer that they had for sale. about 15 years ago or something. And that's one of the original FM licenses for a full-time FM license for a student radio station. And the Students Union there have decided they're not going to pay for it anymore. And so Bailrig looks like it could go online only, which has caused a bit of a kerfuffle.
It was the first, actually, the first FM full-time student radio station back in the 90s. And I used to listen to it. I never had the pleasure of going in, but I used to do, I don't know if you know this, Stuart, but I used to do overnights on the bay.
You've mentioned it once or twice.
Living in East Lancashire, and driving up to North Lancashire, I used to pass on the M6 or the A6. As soon as I got to Junction 33, I used to tune the radio to 87.7 and see what they're up to. Because back then, you know, online listening wasn't a thing. Yep. I couldn't just tune in whenever. So being in a new area, listening to a different radio transmitter was always exciting. So, a lot of heritage there, a lot of emotion attached to that radio license. A lot of people gone through the station that now work in radio. So, back the petition if you can, and see if you can get those people in the Students' Union to change their mind. What are they thinking?
Well, I think it's a bit more than the money, isn't it? Because I think they say it's £1,000 and they could raise that money, but the Students' Union have still said they don't want to be the licensee. And I suppose it's maintaining the Ofcom requirements all year round when the students are not necessarily there all year round. So there's perhaps a little bit more to the story than we're being told.
Yeah, but they've done it fine for 20 years. So what's the difference now? Come on, guys, sort it out.
And it was interesting to hear Richard Allinson in the latest David Lloyd's Conversation series, which is a really, really good one, talking about his early days in radio at Bailrig FM in Lancaster. So another excellent product of the student station there. Right, it's Easter coming up. Good luck to the guys at Maritime Radio for their launch this weekend. We've got, about 3 or 4 weeks now to the radio festival and tuning in. That'll come round quick.
Yeah, do we know who's going to be at the festival apart from me, you and the Radio Today crew?
Simon Mayo.
Anybody else?
I think that's all they've announced so far at the time of recording. But maybe more news coming soon. We know Roman Kemp, Vic Hope and Sonny J will be at Tuning In, along with other guests as well, including Steve Parkinson from Bauer, Michael Hill from Radio Player, Siobhan Kenny from Radio Centre, and Professor Green, the musician, amongst others. That's on Tuesday, the 14th of May, and of course the Radio Festival on the 13th. You can get your tickets now from radioacademy.org.
Are we having it off next week?
You radio people, you're all the same.
You know what I mean. Are we taking the week off?
Oh, right. Okay, yes. I'm away next week, so it's Easter holidays. And we will return on the 1st of May, I think.
Are you going anywhere horrible?
Scotland.
Yeah, that's quite nice, actually. So we're having an Easter break, and then we're back on the 1st of May with something new, shiny and exciting.
Oh, are we allowed to say what that is yet, or should we keep the listeners waiting?
If you like a good jingle or some fresh imaging, then You're going to love this. You're going to love it.
Oh, good. Because we've had the same imaging on this podcast for what, about 4 years now?
Quite a long time. Yeah, but, you know, if it's good, then don't change it. But sometimes it's good to change.
Excellent. We'll talk to you then in a couple of weeks for that. And stay there for Sam Bailey from the Audio Content Fund after this old bit of imaging.
Will do.
Broadcast Bionics brings you PhoneBox, Oasis, Virtual Director, and many more innovative solutions for creative radio people. Come to bionics.co.uk and find out more.
This is the Radio Today programme, and we're going to find out now about the Audio Content Fund. We can talk to its Managing Director, Sam Bailey, who joined the fund this month after many years at Radio 1. Welcome to the podcast, Sam.
Thanks, Stu.
So, people might have heard about this already. I know you had a launch recently as well. It's a pot of government money for public service programmes, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's actually licence fee money, which, through the various machinations of charter renewal, ended up back with the government a few years ago. And so the DCMS has this project called the Contestable Fund, and originally it was intended that they would spend it all on children's TV programmes, but with the help of Audio UK and Radio Centre, representations were made that actually the radio industry could do some good stuff with this money, and so £3 million was put aside, and the Audio Content Fund was born. So the idea is that it will fund sort of the type of programmes which are sort of traditionally difficult to support commercially, so things like documentaries, drama, comedy, live event coverage, that sort of thing. It has to go out on a UK radio station. It has to demonstrate a certain number of criteria. But the idea is, public service radio on commercial or community radio, essentially.
And the money's split over 3 years, is that right?
Yes, so that £3 million is over 3 years. There'll be three commissioning rounds per year. So the expectation is that we'll hand out that money in roughly equal amounts throughout that time.
Okay, so the first one's open at the moment, and we'll talk about people who might have a last minute chance of getting in on that, but there's going to be another one in the summer and then one in the autumn.
Yes, that's right. The dates are all on the website, actually. So we're in the current the first round at the moment, which will close at the end of April, and then another one opens in July, and another one, I think it's in October.
Okay, so in terms of the types of programmes, you kind of mentioned drama and comedy and that kind of thing. It's essentially a lot of the stuff that perhaps the BBC does very well, so this is a good way of commercial radio competing, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's important to say within that we're very pragmatic about formats, and I think it's important to say that in that this has to have a broadcast on a commercial community radio station, it's important that the formats fit the radio station in mind. And the idea when it's pitched, the Audio Content Fund has to come with a commitment of broadcast from the radio station. So that relationship has to be pre-existing, and you have to have had that conversation with the radio station. But we're quite expecting an innovative kind of array of formats. I think it would be a lot of the independent production sector are quite familiar with working with the BBC and with the BBC's formats, whether that's Radio 4 or Radio 3 or whatever. But I think that there's an opportunity here to think about shorter form, to think about package-based content, to think about things striped across a period of time, and to try to kind of find out what public service means in the context of these different platforms. Because, as you say, it's been traditionally only the BBC that's been the market for this sort of content to date.
And I guess the fact that the Audio Content Fund is a kind of partnership between Radio Centre and Audio UK suggests that even these commercial stations who might not have experience of making speech-based content or public service-based content, there is support there from the indie sector.
And in fact, the way that the fund is organised, the production has to be done by a company separate to the radio station. So it isn't actually open to in-house production. Though radio stations are welcome to produce content for other radio stations if they want, but it's essentially oriented so that the producer, the independent production company, places the bid and they attach to it the guarantee of broadcast. But what we're finding is there's sort of two different ways that it's working. Some very proactive radio stations, even before the fund was officially launched, were running sort of their own process, almost like a sort of commissioning process, in order to get that golden letter, sort of saying these are the slots that we might put stuff in, these are the kind of things that fit with our brand, these are the sorts of programmes that we're looking for. So a number of radio stations, radio groups have done that, but it's equally valid that indies are sort of saying, this is an idea that we've had for a while, or this is a great idea that we think could work here. Is anybody interested in talking to us about it? So it's sort of creating a bit of a marketplace, and it's quite interesting to see how indies and radio stations that perhaps would never have had reason to talk to each other until now are forging new relationships.
The cynic in me suggested those ideas that the indies have got are perhaps ones that have been rejected by the BBC. But anyway, we won't go there. So in terms of the stations that want to do this and get involved, what do they need to pull together to put an application in?
Well, so again, it's the indies that put the application together. And as I say, they could approach the radio stations, or we found a lot of the radio stations are putting out in the open the kind of conversations that they want to have, which is great. So, you know, we're seeing the big radio groups, so Bauer, the London, the national brands from Bauer and Golden Square have gone through a sort of commissioning process. The wireless stations in London, so Virgin and Talk, they've gone through a process. And some of the smaller groups as well. So Fun Kids have done a bit on their website. Jack Radio have just done some stuff. Communicore and Nation are doing some bits. So they're sort of saying to the independent production sector, we're up for this. We really support it. And this is where you can have your programs on our networks. So they're sort of running their own kind of little processes in a way. In terms of indies that have ideas and want to find places for them on the radio, I think that's part of my job, really, is to be a hub, to be a place where people can sort of drop me a line or send ideas and sort of go, where, because if an indie has only ever known the BBC as a marketplace or as a podcaster or something like that, then I'm very much there to kind of help them understand the commercial radio landscape and where their programs might sit. That being said, when the idea is formed and when that letter of broadcast is available, people simply go to our website, they can log in there. It's a very straightforward form to submit your idea, attach your budget, attach your letter of broadcast. There are 8 criteria, which you can read about in detail on our website, that are the kind of assessment criteria that the funding panel are going to be using to make the decisions. And then within 12 months, that programme will be made and on the radio. So we've tried to keep it as slimlined as possible and as straightforward as possible. So audiocontentfund.org.uk is the place to find out all the more information.
Yeah, and those mandatory criteria are things like quality, I think additionality is the word you've used, so stuff that doesn't already exist somewhere on the radio, and delivering a reach, which I think when the fund was announced, some of the comments I saw is the fact that you want to deliver some scale and obviously get to the audience with the public service messages, and that's the point of the government fund. Does it necessarily rule out some smaller stations? So community radio in particular can still get involved in this in some way.
Yeah, so to be clear, these are actually the government's 8 criteria, and we've interpreted for the whole contestable fund project, including the children's TV that I mentioned earlier. And we've interpreted these and put them in the context of the kind of UK radio sector. So you mentioned quality. Yes, of course, broadcast quality, and we're looking for that sort of track record in terms of quality as well. Additionality is one of those horrible words that's always read and underlined in Microsoft Word because it isn't actually a real word. But what we mean is that it's new to the radio station. We're not interested in funding something which you made last year, but you haven't got a sponsor for this year or something like that. We're looking for new ideas. And as you say, audience reach, the government have been quite clear that they want this stuff to find a significant kind of UK radio audience. So we're looking for prominent placement in the schedules. This isn't a kind of bury it at 3 a.m. so that you've got a podcast that you can, you know, exploit digitally or something like that. This is, we're looking for significant placement in the schedule and for sort of radar data to kind of help us understand what sort of audience that's going to reach. Now, what we haven't done is actually put a figure on that. We want the market to find its own line, if you like. And if some broadcasters are happy to put something on at breakfast, then maybe that will be considered more favourably than some that are put on at midnight. And we'll see where radio stations are interested in kind of putting this stuff. You mentioned community radio. There's a special condition for community radio, which is detailed in our guidelines. And the government wants to support community radio, but they've had to kind of balance that with the desire to reach large audiences and for stuff to be available nationally online as well. So what we've said is that it's probably unlikely that a single community radio station will have the kind of reach that the government is looking for and that we're looking for. But we welcome the opportunity for community radio stations to network, to form partnerships, to think, well, maybe here's a half a dozen stations or a dozen stations that could run this content. It could be in different communities all over the UK, but there's enough similarity between the communities that they serve that this programme or this content could be valuable. And we're working with the Community Media Association to kind of establish the best way of making, forming those lines of communication between those stations.
There's an impact on diversity on the additional criteria as well. So this is about bringing new voices to the radio and in some cases different languages that perhaps aren't heard on commercial radio.
Yeah, so there are five supplementary criteria as well as those three mandatory ones. And to run through those quickly, nations and regions, yeah, we want to make sure that the content represents stories outside of London. And that's obviously been very important in the media for the last decade or so. And we want to continue that work. And there is within that a quota of 5% for the UK Indigenous languages, so the languages of Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland. And there are obviously Ofcom licensed stations that have quotas for hours, and there are lots of community radio stations that work in those languages as well. So that's actually another special condition, and we won't be necessarily applying the same audience reach criteria to content that has those discrete kind of communities that work in the UK's Indigenous languages. Diversity, you mentioned, yeah. We're interested in projects which tackle underrepresentation and also promote diversity on and off air as well. I mentioned innovation earlier. That's the third one. We're looking for content that's in new formats, new ideas and innovative approaches within the medium. New voices, we want to support kind of new talent and new and smaller production companies to help them compete in the audio landscape. And this other kind of slightly awkward word, which is plurality. And how's that different to additionality? But basically what we're saying is we're looking for stuff that's new within the whole market, the marketplace as a whole. So if additionality means it's new to the radio station it's going out on, plurality is extra bonus points for it being new to the genre of the radio station or the marketplace as a whole. So it's new to you and it's new to everyone. Get you extra points, really.
And when all these applications come in, who's making the decisions on which ones get the money?
So the funding panel was announced a while back, and that consists of Helen Bowden as the chair, with Mukti Jane Campion, who's a producer and academic, John Myers and Kate Cocker. So a really interesting group of people from really different backgrounds with a lot of really great ideas and great thoughts about representing the whole of the UK in this fund. And what the panel have discussed and agreed is that they want each round to be as widespread and as representative as possible. So it'll be quite interesting to see what comes out of the first round, because then we can start to look at where to plug the holes in the subsequent rounds. So we want to make sure that each funding round has an impact across the whole country.
And I think, to quote John from your launch event the other week, someone giving you free money to do fantastic radio, fill your boots.
John's unique turn of phrase, yeah, but he's right. You know, this is a fantastic opportunity, and it's something that's been hard fought by a lot of our colleagues, and it's, as John says, it's free money. It obviously comes with the right sort of strings attached and the right sort of hoops to jump through, and I'm happy to kind of talk through with anybody those conditions, because I think that they do create a really nice landscape that this sits in. So if anybody wants to reach me, go on the website and they can drop me an email.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say actually finally, was the fact that there might be people listening to this who are in small commercial radio stations or community radio stations who have never worked with indies, so you can hook them up with a company that might be able to see their idea taken forward.
Yeah, I can do my best. I think one of the things that I've found quite useful from a radio station perspective is to kind of pull together a one-pager going, these are the sorts of programs that would work on our station and that we'd like to see ideas from indies. And then we can promote those. A number of radio stations put them on their websites, in the sort of corporate bit of their websites, and then we can share them on social media. And being really open about it and kind of saying, well, you know, we're such and such radio station, this is what we stand for, and these are the kind of things that we think the audio content fund could fund for us. Do you have any ideas that fit the bill? So certainly when it comes from radio stations, I think that's a really good step forward.
And obviously the first round's closing soon. Presumably when the funding is awarded from that first round, you'll publish all of those so people can get an idea of what kind of programme might get funded for them to put in the next round.
Yeah, definitely. So the funding panel are going to meet in May, and then we'll make those awards in early June, and maybe we'll speak to you against you about what's been successful and where we go with it for round two.
Excellent. Thanks for coming on, Sam, and all the details at audiocontentfund.org.uk.
Thanks, Stu. Speak to you again.
Interesting stuff. We've still got David Lloyd and James Cridlin. First, a quick word about Clean Feed. If you need a way of connecting in decent quality audio with perhaps somebody doing an outside broadcast for your station, or somebody you're interviewing for your podcast, or maybe you yourself are going to host your show from somewhere different to normal, Clean Feed is the thing to try. It's been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to use and connect in live audio over the web with great quality, and you can even record it. It doesn't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take you a few minutes to get signed up and trying it out, and you could be doing your live interview or recording before you can say cleanfeed.net. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridlin, the radio futurologist.
If you haven't been to NAB's show in a while,
You don't know what you've been missing.
I recently went to the NAB show in Las Vegas, the first time I'd been there for 3 years or so. I used to stay at the Riviera, a gloriously run-down hotel and casino, which had two good things going for it. Firstly, it was a short walk away from the convention centre, and therefore relatively easy to get to. And secondly, it had an almost acceptable British pub in it, which was a nice home from home. And it was very cheap. But the Riviera was knocked down a few years ago, and in its place this year was a lot of building work. The convention centre is expanding, and where there was once a crappy hotel with awful Wi-Fi, there will soon be the West Halls, a place to fill with more exhibitors. So this time I discovered a new hotel, The Link, which is easy to get to from the convention centre using the monorail. It doesn't have the opulent fanciness of the Wynn, but it also doesn't have the prices to match. And the best bit of The Link is a European-style street off the strip with a number of decent eating and drinking places down it. And if you spend a little time there, you can almost forget about the horrific nonsense of the rest of Las Vegas. Anyway, the NAB show.
You get to get your hands on with equipment. You get to get your hands on with other content creators, and then it's a great networking opportunity that I love.
I spent much time in the audio part of the NAB show, and I noticed a small change. Equipment manufacturers are making more stuff for home studios rather than massive downtown studio facilities. Some manufacturers, at least, are recognizing that work is changing for those that make great audio. We don't need gorgeous studios in expensive locations now that we have high-speed internet. As one example, Rod Sharp, a radio presenter for BBC Radio 5 Live, has presented the same overnight show for the last 25 years, much of it from an 18th century house in the US state of Massachusetts. All he requires is a microphone, a few monitors, a data link, and not much else. And there are more stories of radio stations being happier to leave the studio behind. Filippo Solibello, a broadcaster for Italian broadcaster Rai, sees a studio as a confining place. He much prefers to take his show on the road. And again, he appears to need a microphone, a laptop, and a Wi-Fi connection. Indeed, there are many stations, some on internet only, some on FM or DAB, which exist without having a broadcast centre at all, each show coming from the presenter's home. Radio's unique selling point is a human connection and a shared experience, something that Spotify cannot possibly hope to do. And increasingly, that human connection and shared experience isn't served by having presenters locked in a brightly lit studio, wittering on about Kim Kardashian or interviewing movie stars. Better, perhaps, to get out and do stuff, whether live or nearly live, across your broadcast area. If equipment manufacturers are beginning to notice the trend to home studios, perhaps that's an opportunity for all of us to rethink how we make radio to keep it relevant for the future. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd.
Let's start our memories this week 24 years ago and a farewell at Radio 1.
So that's almost it. At BBC Radio 1, I've worked with some of the radio greats. Some of my heroes, Fluff Freeman.
Oh, no.
Noel Edmonds.
Lovely Bottom.
Did you say a lovely bottom?
I said
Quickly
Bottom.
I was going to say, it's a bit late for that now. Simon Bates.
Oh, love.
And exciting new talent like Chris Morris and Chris Evans. And I've been lucky enough to interview royalty and TV personalities, prime ministers. Now, the new 1FM breakfast show starts on Monday with Chris Evans. Good luck, Chris, and please join him and continue to support Radio 1FM. It's almost 9 o'clock. Thank you so much for your emails, your faxes, your letters and calls. Thanks for listening. And remember, I'll be back.
And he was on Radio 2. Steve Wright with his final show on Radio 1 this week in 95. Capital's breakfast show in London has boasted many esteemed hosts over the years. Kenny Everett.
Well, how are you doing about waking up? It's not easy, is it, folks? It's the strain-filled time of day. But just remember that we love you. Because you're lovely. 14 minutes after 8 o'clock. And later on in today's knicker-twanging show, how to do...
Graham Dean.
My final star oldie. Frank Sinatra from 1969 and My Way.
Mike won't actually be having a star oldie at 7 o'clock, but of course there'll be lots of oldies spread around through the 3 hours next week. Well, there we are. That was Frank Sinatra, requested by Donna and June.
Chris Tarrant.
I'm Howard Hughes.
That's the way it is.
Monday morning, 27th of June. Lots of sunshine today, 24 degrees, 75 Fahrenheit. Staying hot and getting more humid till Wednesday. Among your headlines this morning, Kylie Minogue poses for new...
And this week, 15 years ago... Johnny Vaughan.
I'm a Londoner, but I think London's great. I feel it when I'm riding the Jubilee up to Wembley or down at the Tate.
The TV ad had a very good one too that launched Johnny Vaughan's days on Capital London Breakfast. He began there this week in 2004.
Radio 2, it's Stuart.
Ed Stewart was a popular member of the radio fraternity. He'd come from the pirate stations, then settled down for many BBC years. But those ended just about this week, 13 years ago, with his last regular show on Radio 2.
There's Dusty Springfield. You don't have to say you love me. That was one of the last records we played on the Big L, Radio London, nearly 39 years ago. Oh, even getting on for 40, if you want to look at it that way. Anyway, I've been surprised at the depth of feeling expressed by yourselves in my leaving. Well, it's touched me and it's astounded me, but not entirely surprised me, because there's such a love of the type of music I've been playing at your request over the years that I can imagine that you're disappointed and in many cases devastated at its demise. But being an optimistic sort of person myself, well, it's been a wonderful 39 years with its ups and downs here at the Beeb. But I listened to the words of my last record just to give myself some encouragement.
Ed Stewart in 2006. 25 years ago this week, something new in Carlisle.
And now there's also going to be a news content, most certainly. Jill Garston is the news editor. How important is the news going to be, Jill? Because music seems to be the keynote to the whole programme.
The news is going to be vital. Our team's going to be working hard to provide loads of local news, national, international news, loads of local information, everything you'll want to hear.
The debut of CFM in Carlisle this week in 1993. Happy Silver Jubilee.
The best mix of music.
It's 14 years this week since the singles chart combined physical sales with legal downloads. And maybe partly because of that, chart placings moved around a little more vigorously. So this week, 6 years ago, a troublesome chart entry.
The Vodafone Big Top 40.
All right, the song at number 9 is a new entry for Judy Garland. To explain more, here's Dominic Byrne from the Big Top 40 news team.
Well, this has all happened following the death of Margaret Thatcher earlier this week, who was Prime Minister from 1979 to 1990. Now, throughout the week, there have been Facebook groups supporting a campaign to download this song. Now, because the Big Top 40 is compiled from and directly affected by downloads at iTunes, as a result, the track features in today's chart.
Head-scratching for the chart producers this week in 2013. When Chrysalis acquired LBC in 2002, the management went to New York for inspiration. They went to see a station called 1010 Winds in action. It was an influential all-news station which had launched this week in 1965. But until that moment, it was a rock and roll station.
To put the rap sound officially, let's call the Shangri-Las. Front and centre to put the topper at 3 minutes till 8 o'clock.
That was the last DJ. Then came that announcement that things were to change.
Here is WINS General Manager Joel Chaseman. WINS has become the first and only radio station in the New York region to present a continuing all-news service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, news is at your fingertips whenever you want it. In addition to local news, as it happens in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, you will be hearing up-to-the-minute reports from our news bureaus throughout the nation and the world. Sports, finance, traffic, weather, time will be a vital part of this service. We intend to convey the excitement of the news to you fairly, accurately, and authoritatively, and thus to fill what we believe to be a...
The News Watch never stops. This is WINN. You give us 22 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Good evening. It's 43 degrees at 5 o'clock. On
1010 Winds, which launched this week in 1965. LBC, of course, back home, chose to put its rolling news on AM and switched the phone-in format to FM, a decision which seems to have been rather wise. This week last year, the death we really weren't expecting.
I'm a great believer in destiny and fate. I really do. I also am a great believer in positive thinking, and you can create your own luck if you push very hard. But certain things happen. Certain things have happened to me in my life, and I thought, that's one heck of a coincidence. And things like that, it's as if there's a force there. But, I mean, that's perhaps too strong a word. Hello.
Hello.
How are you, darling?
I'm fine, thank you.
Another Purton caller.
Yes, well, Purton's a good place.
It's quite the residence to be in, isn't it?
It is,
really?
Yes.
Describe your house. What have you got there, darling?
Three-bedroom detached.
Oh? Oh, lovely. Laura Ashley curtains and matching Gouvet cover.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
No. So, are you married?
Yes.
Kids?
Three.
Oh, you have been a naughty girl, haven't you?
Yes.
What's husband's name?
Frank.
Frank. How can you marry someone called Frank?
Oh, no, it's horrible, isn't it?
Oh, Frank. Frank Fellows.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake, stop it. Don't be ridiculous. That's not his name, is it?
It is, yes.
Oh.
Dale Winton, who died this week last year. So with Capital grabbing Century Radio from Border TV 19 years ago, it very nearly went to Scottish Radio, so those licences could have been Bowers by now. The first Help a London Child appeal on Capital 43 years ago, paving the way for Make Some Noise. Isn't it good to know? Jamie Theakston taking over Heart Breakfast in London 14 years ago.
And I gave her a huge surprise.
And the launch of Viking 35 years ago.
We'll also be keeping you in the know with all the local happenings. And of course, playing some great music as well. 16 minutes past seven.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd. And to our other regulars, Roy Martin and James Cridlin. Thanks too to Sam Bailey and to the team at Wise Buddha for the use of their studio for me to connect to Sam. And thanks too to Ian Dealey, who's been adding some magical processing to our podcast the last few weeks. So if you've noticed a change, if you listen in a noisy environment and you've suddenly realised you can hear us very well, then it's all thanks to Ian and his wizardry with the processing. Join us in a couple of weeks. We're back on the 1st of May for more from Radio Today.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.